This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavana Robert Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland Nelson, co-host of Culture Club HTX, and so excited to be here for my favorite segment.
Oh, God. Can we just first say hello to everyone?
We're going to, but I'm introducing you, and I'm just kind of previewing it a little because I'm excited.
Okay. You forgot. You were supposed to introduce me, but that's okay. Shavana Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, week two of regular season football.
Yay. I'm so excited.
Contain yourself, Texans.
I mean, seriously great. They won a big one last week.
Contain yourself.
I can't contain
okay,
myself.
Okay, so talk to us. What was so awesome? Give me the 3 points that you loved about last week's game.
Oh, my God. Mixon. Stephon Diggs.
Oh, you mean like the
and
superstar?
And Nico Collins.
Those
are the three things, but also my blessed and beloved,
oh,
CJ.
He's now been elevated to blessed and beloved. CJ, I mean, your stock is
he was so awesome, and he's just, I don't know if you saw this or not, but pregame, J.J. Watt is on one, you know, on the CBS group of sports, you know, whatever they are.
Commentator?
Yeah, like us. So he's in the group, and he got an interview with CJ on the field during warm-ups, which I guess almost never happens.
Well, because he's J.J. Watt, he can do what he wants.
And, you know, he's J.J. and CJ's C.J. and J.J. is precious. C.J. is more precious. And he's asking him about his routine and his head stuff. Because they were all five talking about what they, you know, they
the
warm up
game.
And then they go in and they get mentally prepared in the locker room before they come out to be introduced and the game starts. And I don't even remember what JJ was talking about, you know, gets him going. And he did say that his goals are the same as they were a year ago. And then JJ says, so what do you do in the locker room? He says, I listen to gospel music. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. There can't be a better person. I mean, this kid is just so great. Sorry.
No, that's fantastic.
But CJ's mom, if you're listening, congratulations.
You've done a good job. So
you really did.
The NFL, so in addition to your beloved, our hometown team, the Texans, the NFL averaged 21 million viewers per game last week. That's the highest on record. So, I mean, they're back. They're back in black. And unfortunately, you know, I rattled on about Mr. Brady. He kind of bombed.
He wasn't very good, was he?
You know, he wasn't.
I didn't even realize it was him.
You know, stop.
I mean, I was looking stop. At the game,
oh.
And I missed the opening part.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And he just was kind of dull.
Okay. You didn't realize it was him?
No, I wasn't watching. So
okay.
You know, for those of you who don't know, once football season starts, there is a game on at all times in the background noise at my house.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I can't. The Fox game was the 3 o'clock game, I think, on Sunday, and I don't remember who was it. Wasn't Kansas? Was it
Cowboys
Kansas?
Or Browns?
It was. So yep. Yeah. It was.
So one of the things that is interesting. So with this increase in viewership, which is 12% over last year, you know, there's this opportunity. There's so many more women watching NFL now than before, for, you know, the Taylor Swift effect. But also, you know, I'm curious to understand what advertisers will do, if anything, to capitalize on that.
Because, well, they can certainly advertise more to women.
I know. Well, that's
have.
What I'm wondering. We'll see, right? Because I would
guarantee you L'Oreal will be out there.
You think?
I think so.
I mean, if
after
I were them,
the
I
super
would.
After the Olympic ads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
I would if I were them, because I think that uptick is probably more than 50%. Female.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see over the coming weeks how advertisers turn that into cold hard cash. Okay, so speaking of the Texans or Houston football, so Case Keenum, you know, did you hear about him tutoring the U of H quarterback Donovan Smith?
This is so incredible. You know, the new athletic director, mm-hmm. I guess, and the coach, their new head football coach, Willie Fritz.
That's
He's
a great
making,
name. I mean,
great
if you're going to be a football coach, your name should be Willie Fritz.
I think it's fabulous.
That's a great name.
He's making a big effort to reconnect former athletes with the current football program. And he's got two rock stars in Case Keenum and Andre. Come on.
Who is Where? He?
Yes. Thank you very much. Hey, I don't have
you. Hey,
I have you.
You have me.
I have you.
I'm,
so I do not
covered.
Have to remember
That's
everything.
That's right. You do not.
But both of them are just superstars, and they're out there all the time working with the quarterback. And I mean, this is, I mean, I would go to a game if they're going to be on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see them.
Well, you know what else? I mean, I think it's also, it is a nod to these, you know, retired players, superstar players who feel that committed to the game still, right? Like they want to, I feel like it is a marker of true character when you're willing to pour into the younger person or the, you know what I mean? The younger generation. So it actually says a lot about the coach and Andre and Case. I think
without a doubt. And I mean, Case Keenum, it wasn't very, he was only 11 years ago he was the quarterback.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that long. And gosh, we loved him. He was so beloved here. And so to have him as a Texan is thrilling to me, certainly. And have him doing this, it's just, I just think it's beyond wonderful. So thank you.
Well, one other sort of not so super awesome story about U of H. So, you know, the athletic director there, Eddie Nunez, he is new to the University of Houston. And apparently there's all this scuttle that his pay, which is, just in case, you know, anyone was wondering, $900,000 a year. That's okay. Is less than other athletic directors. So I know we've talked about, you know, the Big 12 and, you know, the powerhouse universities and the comparison. So I don't know your thoughts on that. But it's kind of interesting because I do feel like U of H is at this critical moment. I mean, seriously, yeah. I think this is a transitional moment in time for the Cougars. And I am thinking, my bet is on, in the next, say, 5 to 10 years, they will be, you know, on equal footing as the Texas, the Oklahoma, et cetera. It's what I'm thinking.
I think it's a very good possibility if you look at how fast Renu Couture has brought it to a tier one university.
Correct.
I mean, we're not talking 50 years here.
Right.
I mean, really, seriously. 15 maybe?
Maybe.
I mean, she is so awesome and relentless, of course, and sports is a big focus for her because it's a huge money earner, you know, and I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. I'm not appalled that he's fourth best paid coach. It's not really low.
I mean,
in the top
I know.
10, he's number four.
Yeah.
He's making $900,000 a year to
base salary.
Salary against six something from his predecessor. So they took a 25% jump. I mean, that's a big jump.
Mm-hmm.
And he proves himself. And I guarantee you they'll go above and beyond his contract because he will be, you know, he'll be available to be stolen.
So here's my question, and you know, maybe this is just a philosophical question.
I mean, Sarkisian's the one that's getting overpaid. So, no offense, but so, I mean, like, that is absurd.
What? Well, how much is he getting?
Oh, $3 million, I think, or something.
Okay,
I don't know.
So
maybe
here's the question.
$9 million? I don't know. It's absurd.
What qualifications does one need in order to be an athletic director? Because I'm thinking maybe we could be athletic.
We could
be
co. That's you need I mean. To understand what you have to do to grow the athletic program.
Oh, we could do that.
You don't have to coach anything. You have to be, number one, I think, a coordinator of sports activities and teams. Number two, and this may be number one plus, a major fundraiser.
Okay,
you have to do that.
Do
you've got to bring the big guns, the big sponsors. You have to be the go-to guy they want to hang with.
Or you have to get the go-to guy because, like, you think, who is Colorado's athletic director? No one knows, but they have Coach Prime. And he is the one who's bringing. So you have to have either you or you bring in people who will attract the donors.
Right.
Okay, so maybe, you know what?
We could definitely do it.
So we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to talk about maybe we're going to be the next.
Our next steps.
Our next steps for being athletic director. Eddie Nunez, watch out.
I mean, Coach Nelson and the Hall of Famer here.
You see what she did there? You see what she did there?
We'll be back.
Bye. Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
I'm Lisa Holland Nelson, Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of Astounds, and we invite you to dive into the dynamic world of digital marketing services with us. Astounds is not just an internet marketing service provider. We're your gateway to the future of online marketing. With our innovative approaches ranging from great website design to impactful online advertising and social media, we'll equip your business with the tools to grow. We want the opportunity to astound you. Grow your business online with us at astounds.com.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shivana Robert-Schreiber.
Hi, I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here today with my beloved Shivana Robert-Schreiber,
my co-host, blessed and beloved,
just like CJ. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, in case you don't know this, our executive producer.
Well, you're just on a roll today. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, and we're getting to business, which we know is really important.
Taking care of
to
business.
All of you guys.
Remember when I sang that song, like the whole episode that time?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think a lot of other people might also remember.
Because it was great.
It was really great. You're really good. We're going to take you on the road.
Just me?
Alone. Without me.
Yeah. Well,
there's the road, by the way.
Okay, so first business story, CenterPoint Energy. Well, let's just say CenterPoint has faced a lot of headwinds here lately.
6 weeks since Beryl.
And it seems to
me. And the derecho 2 weeks before or whatever.
Seems to me that they are trying to right the wrongs and they are making some strategic hires. So what did they do?
Well, they hired their first chief communications officer. I mean, after the Hurricane Beryl backlash. And it's exciting that they're recognizing that they've got to talk to the community. So they hired this guy, Keith Stevens, and to be their chief communications officer and pay attention to the community and get the word out about what they're doing.
Well, and the thing about Mr. Stevens is apparently at his prior organization, actually, too, he managed the emergency communications. This actually makes me hopeful.
Yeah, he's a crisis manager,
right,
which is
great. The fact that they didn't have one means it's like, well, of course you didn't know what to do because you didn't have a professional in with this expertise. So actually, this is actually good. This is really good.
I could take a moment and talk about CenterPoint a little if you'd like.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, no, this is really
well,
good.
Well, you know, did they have that ranch or whatever?
I mean, hey, we're going to focus on the good news, folks. But no, this is good. This is actually good because it's one thing when you have someone who's incompetent. Another thing, when you just didn't have a person. So now you
they
have
had
a person.
No one.
They had no one. So we're going to give them a second try. And Mr. Stevens, he has his expertise in crisis communication. And to your point, it's not just getting connected to the community when something goes wrong. It's building that relationship and rapport with the community. So when something goes wrong, they are not coming for your throat.
Potentially,
right?
They can reduce.
Well, and
you get more grace. The customer frustration.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And we know they're trying to improve service reliability.
Right.
I mean, they
have been working. I've seen that with my own eyes.
1,000 new poles.
Yes.
And 2,000 miles, supposedly, of tree trimming.
You see that? Supposedly.
Not in my neighborhood, though.
Well, I've seen them working, so I'm going to go with it. I think they're working.
I believe you. I know they're working. And by the way, CenterPoint, I love you. I don't have anything against you. And I didn't lose any power.
Oh,
her love
is conditional.
It's not conditional.
You love CenterPoint. You didn't lose any power. Had you lost power, I could only imagine. Anyway, Houston Zoo, this is right in your hood. What's going on at the zoo?
New CEO.
So
why is this guy leaving? Gosh,
yeah,
he did such a great job.
Maybe the new person's going to be even better. So
I mean,
what's the story?
This was unreal, though, don't you think?
That
all the things that he did?
At the zoo? Yeah, I mean, the zoo had some pretty amazing things. But have they appointed? No, they've not appointed yet.
No,
I think he
surprised them. Lee Emke, or they surprised him.
Lee Emke is no longer.
His name.
Is he gone officially? I know he raised over $156 million.
I mean, he ran the whole Capital campaign, the whole big redo, all of the new stuff, the bird thing, the ape thing.
The bird thing. Like, everything's a thingy thing. Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe this was his plan. Maybe it was
fortunate to be a grandmother with grandchildren out of town, so I am not hanging at the zoo a lot.
True fact.
I love the zoo, and I've loved it since I was little, but I haven't loved going there since I probably was 21. I'm not sure.
Fair. But maybe this was this guy's deal. Maybe it was come in, do some legacy building activity, and then leave.
I don't know how old he is, so I mean, that definitely could have been.
Yeah, that could have been his whole game plan.
But the zoo has achieved notable accolades, including a 100% evaluation by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums.
Oh, there's an association?
And multiple awards for its projects. Additionally, the zoo expanded its veterinary facilities and moved its headquarters into a new building. 4 new board members were appointed in July, further strengthening the organization's leadership. So
we also have the oldest turtle couple that just had a baby. Did you know that? I saw that on the news. Like, wow, a 98-year-old male turtle is a dad.
How old is mommy?
I'm not sure.
Maybe
but
she's younger.
She is younger.
So they just
had a baby.
That's just amazing.
Isn't that amazing? So, yeah. I mean, all kinds
Maybe
of great
I'll
things.
Maybe I'll go back to the zoo okay. and meet them.
I'd
like to meet them.
You know what? But seriously, so I think, you know, we often talk about, I mean, this is a business, we're in the business segment, but I think this is also something that impacts the community. Because while Lisa doesn't want to go to the zoo, many people do.
Everybody
and
wants
it's
to go
a destination.
To the zoo. I mean, really oh my is. Goodness. Well, you know, I live by Herman Park.
That's why I said, it's in your
on
hood.
That board, mm-hmm. as do you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I walk in the park a lot, and there's always lines out the zoo, and it's very expensive.
Well,
seriously.
We talked about that. I think we checked the price, and it's not expensive as I said.
It's not as bad as you thought.
No, but it's but either way. So stay tuned, and maybe what we'll do is once we get the new CEO and president, we'll invite him to the show,
and then we could go to the zoo and do a
live remote with the oldest dad, 98-year-old turtle.
I know he'll talk to us.
He will. Okay, so VC firm, Houston VC firm, The Collective, they have just added a new investor who is it Ashley DeWalt? No, I don't know. Who's the guy? It's a New York Giants.
New York Giants linebacker, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Oh, okay. So, you know, we've talked a lot, again, you know, all intersects. We've talked about athletes going on to their second and third act. I feel like here lately,
we're hearing more and more
about investors.
Well,
about,
this guy
like, becoming investors.
Already, it says he already has a diverse investment portfolio, particularly interested in the fan experience aspect of sports technology. We know our beloved David Gao is very into sports technology. That's what his whole SPAC was about.
Right. Well, in this group, The Collective, they have a focus on athletes and helping athletes to learn more about venture investing, to leverage their name, image, likeness, et cetera. So that's actually really good.
Very good.
Yeah. I didn't know that was their focus. I thought they were just, you know, looking for bucks. But yeah, that's even better. So Thibodeau, to your point, his investment experience, apparently he's been at this for a while, real estate, hospitality, beverages, et cetera, et cetera. So great. So focus on sports technology and innovation, back to innovation. So you know what? I bet you our beloved David does know a little bit about this. Uh-huh. Oh, and they're collaborating with Rice. So The Collective as a VC is in collaboration with Rice.
I just
and
think
the Ion.
At this point, well, Rice owns the Ion, basically. It's their building. But I think at this point, Rice has become ahead of everyone else, the heart and soul of the venture community.
Oh, I would agree with that because I'm thinking of two people that I know that are very involved, both Rice alum, and they're doing separate, you know, different ventures, et cetera. Yeah. But yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, no, I mean, the business plan competition is probably the best one in the country at this point. I can't imagine that there's any other MBA business plan competition that comes close to Rice.
Oh, okay. So one thing, Lisa, tell me what you think about this, because another sort of thing that is interesting in this whole sports technology world is sports betting. Do you have any thoughts on sports betting?
Only that I'm so afraid to lose that I don't do it.
What?
You know what I mean? I don't want to lose my money betting. That just is so wasteful to me. I mean, I think I told you this. I got married in 1981. Uh-huh. And my husband gave me $200. We went on our honeymoon, I think, to Nassau or something, and we went to the casinos. I promise you, I have $180 of those dollars
still today.
I mean, I lost 20 over 3 hours, and I was done.
Over 3 hours? Yeah. Oh my! Were you playing the penny slots? What were you doing?
I don't know what I was doing, but I know I did not feel good about going there out with less than I came in with. So for me, it's the whole gambling of any sort, you know, unless I'm winning at gin, I don't really want to do any of it. But I think it's a reality, and I think
a lot
of people
are
doing it. And now I understand we have some casinos in Texas now. I think we do. We do. We have casinos. That's what I heard yesterday. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me that.
Well, I don't know, but as it relates to sports technology investment, I think that, you know, the betting part of that is a thing and will probably continue to grow. And so let's take a break and see if let's fact check. Do we really have casinos in Texas?
We'll fact check. We'll be back.
Bye.
If you're serious about making 10K your new monthly standard, you need to hear this. The 10K in 10 Days Challenge is for business owners who know they've got more to give. It's time to step it up and be around people who are just as driven. Join a community that's all about leveling up, where 10K months are inevitable. Visit 10kchallenge.vip. That's 10kchallenge.vip. Let's make it happen.
I'm Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here to talk to you about my other gig, CEO of SNR Creative Advisory. At SNR Creative, we're an elite team of seasoned professionals with one simple mission: partnering with our clients to creatively solve problems. Whether it's help with your business development, updating your communication strategy, or navigating a shift related to business transformation, our team of experts are here to help you think through that transition and execute it seamlessly. To learn more, visit snr-creative.com.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, co-host of Culture Club HTX. And I'm so excited to be here today with
Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, and
our very special guest, Tracy Dederich, who is here to talk to us about Big Brothers and Big Sisters, a beloved organization in Houston. Tracy, tell us all about the organization, how long it's been around, everything we need to know.
Well, thanks, both of y'all lovely ladies, for having me.
And you're
friends,
welcome.
Friends.
Yes.
Big Brothers Big Sisters is just a super special organization, and it's actually been around for more than 100 years.
Wow.
Started in New York City. Has a really neat beginning. Is there was kind of a judge that had like some, as I recall, kids like, you know, on parole, and they were trying to figure out a way to sort of help fix this problem, and they came up with the idea of, you know, having a one-on-one positive mentoring match set up with an adult, and that turned into Big Brothers Big Sisters over 110 years ago.
Wow.
So in Houston, we've been around, I think it's 70 years.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic organization serving the greater Houston area and all kinds of communities. Basically with what I call at-risk youth, so mostly young boys, some young girls, typically in ages kind of from 7 to, you know, maybe 16. But most of them, it seems like, are kind of in that, you know, 9 to 12 range.
Yes.
And they traditionally don't have one of the parents. So with Big Brothers, it's a boy that doesn't have a father or has a father, but they're not really active in their life for multiple different kinds of reasons. I mean, it could be sometimes that it could be a very successful affluent mother that you know, doesn't have a father in their life, but that doesn't seem to be the majority. The majority of the young boys, the high majority are men, are young boys, and the high majority of them are minority, African American and Hispanic. And so we want to improve on that, and we've got the statistical proof at Big Brothers Big Sisters to show that the having a positive role model, whether it's a male or a female, the results are the same. You know, they do better in school. They're less likely to use drugs. They're more likely to wait until they're married to have children, to graduate from high school. We have something like 93%, I think, is the number of our kids when they graduate. This is HISD. Either go to one of three things: the military, or they have some type of job or some type of education. They're enrolled.
That's awesome. And, you know, little known secret, you are the person who introduced me to Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Well, actually, it was Valerie via you, but because you invited me to a luncheon years ago, probably 15 years ago, at the Astros, the stadium.
I remember.
You remember that?
I do.
And so I am a native Houstonian, and I mean, I had heard of Big Brothers Big Sisters, but I didn't really know much about the organization until that luncheon. So thank you. So in addition to, I mean, you've been involved with the organization and you're being honored. So there's a big thing that's happening in a few weeks on October 3rd. Tell us about that.
October the 5th. Yeah.
5th. Sorry.
Saturday, October the 5th. We're having our annual Big Brothers Big Sisters of Houston gala. It is at the Corinthian downtown, and it's always a ton of fun. And they asked Valerie and I to be the Big Impact Community honorees. And we're absolutely humbled to do that. Because we love the organization and the important mission that it serves.
So in Houston, we have all of these nonprofits. I mean, I think we do philanthropy really well in Houston. But also, because we have so many, I think that sometimes it's difficult to decide which to give to. And so some nonprofits end up being underfunded, or people just don't know. So if someone wanted to support Big Brothers Big Sisters? How do they do it? And then just from the challenges in general, what have you seen in your time being involved in the organization as something that the community can do to help, continue to help? Is it volunteer? Is it give money? What is it?
Yeah, great
both,
question.
Maybe.
All of the above. Great question. Here's the deal. So there's a lot of great nonprofit and important nonprofit organizations in Houston. I think we're the most generous city in the country.
I agree.
I'm a native
Houstonian. We are, actually. We are.
Yeah, first generation. Mm-hmm. And I love everything about Houston, that, except the weather sometimes. That we're friendly.
I noticed welcoming. You keep leaving.
Yes. Yes, you know me well. And we're involved in a lot of those organizations. So, I laugh because I serve on four boards and we're involved in, over time, easily well over 100 organizations. Mm-hmm. And they do great work in a lot of different ways. But here's something that's different. So I know if I give money to, the United Way, or if I give money to the American Cancer Society or the Red Cross, I know they do great work. Mm-hmm. But I don't get to see it. Like, I don't get to see an individual's life being changed, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas I could actually go donate, call it $1,000, $1,200. It's about what it takes cost-wise to match a kid. I mean, we have inflation. And for a year, with a positive role model, a one-on-one mentoring relationship where they get together about 4 hours a month in a safe setting, and everything from go to the store or go to the park or go look at open houses or go have lunch or whatever,
that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And pour their lives into them and have all those great results that we just talked about, the statistical proof that we have. And I could actually see a life be changed for a really relatively low sum of money. And I love that about it.
Yeah.
I really love it.
That's great. So then – so, Lisa, you joke that they're always leaving. So, in addition to volunteering, you and Valerie love to travel. So, how does, you've been to what, over 100 countries and all the continents,
all
I think.
All the continents, all the states.
So, how does going other places and then coming back change your perspective or worldview and make you even more committed to the service that you're doing at Big Brothers Big Sisters and in other organizations? What do you love so much about traveling?
I had a mentor when I was young that really got me into the travel bug. And, I kind of grew up in Southwest Houston, really on poverty, and so never went anywhere. And it started to sort of open my eyes watching him travel, and I just had this thirst for sort of exploring and learning, and I'm intellectually curious. And so, when I first got out of college and had a few dollars, I started doing, snow skiing and scuba diving, and that was about it. And then it was later when I actually finally went to Europe for the first time. I probably had a 10-year period that I wanted to go and just wouldn't really take off from work. And also, it's a little bit intimidating. I think travel can be, the unknown can be intimidating.
That's right.
Very.
Which is what's kind of driven the Rick Steves book, get it and just go and you'll figure it out. It's not that hard. But I went and probably a little over 25 years ago for the first time, and I just got bit like nothing ever before. And I've been back every summer since to Europe for 25 years. But I just love, with a thirst for knowledge, the cultural differences, the architecture, the food, the wine, of course.
Of course.
The people, they're so fascinating. And really, I find that the world is a lot safer than most people make
for
it out
sure.
to be.
Oh, for sure.
Everywhere.
Yes,
really everywhere, no
but
matter
here.
What you're hearing about wars or whatever.
We're
it's safer
people.
When you get there. Yes. And the people are very, very, very kind.
That's what I find.
I mean, they love to talk to you. Not so much in Paris, but the rest of France. The rest of France forgives you for your poor American French accent. Paris, they'll talk to you, but they know you can't speak right.
Well, there's differences, right? They want you in Paris, and I
they really
Paris,
want you
we
to do it right.
So you were just in France.
I've been home from France for less than a week in the south of France. But what they want you to do is like here, we'd be like, hey, how do I get in the front door here? Like that's what I said downstairs. Mm-hmm. And there, they don't want you to do that. They want you to come up and say, excusez, or excuse-moi, or bonjour.
Right.
And then if you'll say that and sort of address them and then ask the question, do you speak English? I'm trying to find this thing. They'll totally help you. But it's just the cultural differences.
Of us just starting.
Being very direct.
I get it. I have a question.
Of course. Of course.
Well, here's my disclaimer, too, talking about travel and saying that it's safer than the media makes it out to be maybe sometimes. I'm not saying that means just go with no regard to safety. I think we always want to have our head on straight, pay attention. But I was just in New York 2 weeks ago with my wife. We didn't, I wouldn't have said if you were going to New York and you're both ladies and if you went by yourselves, I wouldn't say be careful. But I would, of course, think we'll be careful, but be careful in Houston. But we don't,
To be careful. You have to be aware.
Be aware.
And
that's
awareness
the
is the key to safety.
Right.
For all of us.
Over the world, over 100, I think it's 107 countries now, all seven continents, and knock on wood, have really never had a problem. I mean, I've had a time where I was a little bit nervous, but I've never had a problem and just have so many wonderful stories. Now, not everything goes perfect, right? You have some bad stories along the way.
Yeah. But that builds character.
It does.
Yeah. And resolve.
So now my question.
But I think it opens up your whole mind to just the world and how we're all different, but we're all still the same.
I agree. Lisa, we'll let you ask your question. What?
It's burning.
Go ahead.
I'm going back to big brothers and big sisters.
Sure.
Why did you get involved? What made you get involved? We didn't ask that key question, so I want to hear your personal reasons.
Well, that's a great story and a great question is, you know, like a lot of people, I do have a heart and want to give back and I want to help others, mm-hmm. and especially maybe people that are less fortunate than I. And I feel like – I honestly do. I think if we're born in America and we speak English, I think we hit the lotto. And I just think it doesn't get any better than that. And we have to be – thoughtful about that. You know, yeah. We have mm-hmm. a lot to be thankful
yes.
for.
And amen.
I agree. I have so much gratitude. But if you go way back to the beginning, you know, we don't always tell people you don't get to decide how you're born, how you come into the world. You just kind of come in and you've got to deal with it. And we don't know if we're on this side of the tracks or that side of the tracks or whatever. But of course, I was born here in Houston, Texas, and really was born into chaos and poverty. My dad left when I was very young. I really didn't know him. My mom, bless her heart, was raising three kids as a single mother, working two and three jobs, the hardest working lady I've ever met. And it was actually through Big Brothers being sort of a product of the system that mm-hmm. I got involved over 50 years ago, or about 50 years ago. And so when I was 9 years old, I'd go up to my mother's office in the summer, and one of the guys there said, "Hey, I think your son, Tracy, would do well with having a mentor. I'm the oldest male, and there's this program called Big Brothers." And thankfully, my mother was open to that.
So you had one.
So I had a big brother.
Oh, my gosh.
My big brother, Kelly, I still say I have a big brother. He passed away pretty recently in 2017.
I'm sorry.
But after meeting him when I was 9 years old, if you go fast forward, he was best man at our wedding 13 years ago.
Wow.
So we had a friendship that span, you know, 50 years. I'm still very close to his family. His sister, I just have had texts with in the last week. His wife of 30-something years also passed away a couple of years later. But he has a daughter and a stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. And it just is really an awesome organization where he poured his life into me. And even though the program officially closes, they close the match when a child graduates from high school. Mm-hmm. And then there's just kind of no rules. You're just friends.
Yeah. You built a relationship at that point.
That's right.
Yeah.
There are friendships and relationships that very often go on beyond that, mm-hmm. and sometimes for a lifetime. So there's literally thousands of stories like mine. I'm not the only one around the country of people that are still in friendships and relationships with bigs and littles.
Well, I had a feeling there might be a story like that. And I think it's so important for people to understand that you can do anything. Mm-hmm. If you just want to, just the fact that it Big Brothers, Big Sisters was available to you, your mother was okay with you doing it. Here you meet someone who shows you what the possibilities mm-hmm. are, you know, mm-hmm. doesn't just teach you how to act, but really shows you a lot of the world of Houston, and you get a choice and you made the right choice. So congratulations. I'm really honored to have you here today.
Well, thanks. I'm honored to be your friends and be friends with both of y'all. And, you know, if Kelly was sitting here today, Kelly would tell you that he got more out of the program than I did. And
I hear that from
my friend. Nobody's
we
crying
have a friend
in here.
Mike, yeah. Who we've yeah. been talking about. And I mean, I don't know how many littles he's had, but they're all still in his life.
Well, Tracy, you've had several littles
leaving,
also.
You know, so.
You've had like five?
I'm on my fifth little brother. Yeah. So I've been matched five times as a big brother. I'm still in touch with four of the five of them.
Yeah.
You know, it takes two to have a relationship.
Of course.
So I'm matched with a little boy that just turned nine.
Uh-huh.
And it's just awesome. And so people ask, how do you do it? You know, you have a super busy career. You have a wife. You have two kids under age 7 and a half, and a lot going on. I serve on four boards, and I feel incredibly blessed and honored to live in this generous country and mm-hmm. this world. And like I said, all the just good things that we have. So I think we have a responsibility to give.
I agree.
I agree with you. It's partly responsibility. You know, there's a famous verse from the Good Book that says, "To much he who is given, mm-hmm. Much is respected, is expected."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's true.
Yeah,
and the need is there. So there's I think 800 kids on the waiting list right here in Houston. I mean, everything from Sugar Land to, you know, to North Houston, South Houston.
800 children on the waiting list.
And all we need is a person to step up and say, "Hey, I'm married, I have kids, but I could find 4 hours a month." And here's the thing about it: you don't have to go find a new 4 hours a month.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go find a new 4 hours a month necessarily, but what I do is try to sometimes just bring them into our lives on things that I'm already doing.
Yeah, take them along.
Him. I mean, if I'm going to go do a birthday dinner, or you know, I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to. One day I went and just not with my current little, but because there's some rules and regulations as you kind of get going. But I was super busy, and I took my little brother and said, "We're going to go get the car washed. I'm going to get a haircut, and I'm going to go get a wedding gift, and you're going to come with me." And he was like, "Cool, that's awesome,
right?"
And they just
want to
hang out.
It's like an adventure.
Hey, I'm with them. So I want to hang out with you too.
In the
too,
south of France, that's where I want to hang out.
Yes.
So amen, tell me how. Tell us, how can someone learn more about the organization, and especially if they are looking to get involved, help alleviate this 800 littles that are waiting to be met? So where do people go to find out more, and how do they get involved?
Yeah, 100%. I just helped somebody in the last week. Somebody reached out to me and said, this person's interested, and I got them connected. The easiest thing is to go to the website. You can just Google Big Brothers Big Sisters Houston, or the website is bbbstx.org.
Okay.
And you'll see on there some different cities, and you can just select Houston, and you can apply online. And they do a really great job. I think of it back to when, you know, I've been married over 13 years now, but when you were dating and, you know, you think about someone matches you with all these, hey, you're into sports and they're into sports and you're from Ohio and they're from Ohio and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They kind of do it like that. You know, they have all this data and they do it by location and interest and things like that. And then they monitor the match to make sure it's going well for both parties and that it's safe. But, you know, we always say you can get involved in a couple of different ways. We say fund a match, be a match, or find a match. So you could
say,
hey, listen, I'll donate. I actually met a guy on a plane one time flying back from Dallas to Houston on a work trip, and I'm sitting there talking to him, and I said I was at a board meeting for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we start talking, and he said, I know the organization. I like it. I've always wanted to do something. And when we landed, he said, I'm going to donate $10,000 to Big Brothers Big Sisters. And over time, this guy donated well over $150,000.
Oh, wow.
A guy that I'd never met. And met
man, you must have some good plane conversation. Don't sit next to Tracy. Guard your pocketbook. Jeez.
There's people out there, you know, and
it's
you don't want to rob the gift of the giver, which is
he wanted to, I'm sure. I mean,
we love to give. I mean, yes, we have to pay our electric bill and everything else too, but we love to give in both our time, talent, and treasure. So you can fund a match.
Mm-hmm.
You could also get involved and be a match. You can do it as an individual, as a couple, or as a family.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think of it as we're all in this together.
That's right.
So my littles eventually meet our family and our kids, and I want them to know how blessed they are and be a part of. Of another kid's life, and they're all just kids. They're all the same.
Yeah, they just want to play and hang out.
Or you can help us find a match. You can meet someone like, you know, us and say, hey, I'm going to connect you. I think you might be interested in doing this. And you know a guy that I went to high school with, and
yes.
I hadn't seen him in years and ran into him, and we kind of got back together being friends and hanging out. And I said, hey, why don't you come, you know, get involved with Big Brothers? And he became a board member and was a phenomenal board member.
Did he give you $150,000 also?
I don't know.
But we're going to check it out because we know where to look.
We know where to look. And we will be at the October 5th gala, too.
Yes, we will.
So,
fantastic.
Thank you so much. This was so great. So fund a match, be a match, or find a match.
And Big Brothers, Big Sisters Houston on Google, or bbbstx.org.
Do we have time for one more?
Yes.
Story?
Sure.
So here's one final story I'll share with you. And, he has not given me permission to share it.
I
won't say his name. But there's a guy that I grew up knowing. He was my mother's boss, worked for an insurance company many, many decades ago. And I stayed in touch with this guy. This guy was great to me. He was great to my mother back when I became a Boy Scout and an Eagle Scout.
I'm saying you're an Eagle Scout.
I'm an Eagle Scout.
I'm a Girl Scout.
You know, I had to plan a project and you have to fund it. And this guy that my mom worked for gave me $100 for my Eagle project back in the 70s, which is, I don't know, that's got to be like $300 or $400 today.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's like someone coming to your office and saying, hey, my kid's doing this, but you're going to write him a check for $400. I mean, that's a lot, right?
It is.
So, and I've stayed in touch with him. He's a fantastic human being. And I mean, I love the guy. He's got great integrity. And I saw him at lunch about a year and a half ago. Somebody had died kind of in his peer group. And so I took them to lunch. But I just reached out to him. Like I would with anybody, and saying happy birthday, texted him. But going back to when you and I went to that the very original, I don't remember the exact date, but I remember when we were at the Astros, you know, field. Mm-hmm. I also took this guy to one of those lunches, and he came, and a couple of the guys from his office. And of course, he knew I was involved in Big Brothers Big Sisters, and he donated, maybe $1,000 or a couple $1,000. I mean, something, you know, very generous.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Well, anyway, I reached out to this guy a few months ago before the summer and texted him and said, happy birthday. And he texts back and said, thanks, man. And he said, you know, I've been meaning to tell you. He sold his business and he's single. He said, I've been meaning to tell you that I redid my will and I've left $1 million to Big Brothers Big Sisters. And I just wanted to tell you.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, wow. And so I let Big Brothers know. And I went to, you know, hope this guy lives forever, right? But he, you know, someday we're
all gonna
be gone.
What a gift.
And so I think there's just there's great joy in giving, and there's great joy in giving of your time to pour your life into. Where else can you go? Look at the ROI here, and spend a couple of hours a month and have it watch a kid grow up into an adult. You know,
successful adult, yeah,
adult,
productive, yeah.
You know, I mean, what? Think about the joy. So the other thing I'll just end with is I talk about the ROI. I'm an investor. I love to invest. I love to invest in companies, and I always think about that kind of that ROI. But my deal is on Big Brothers Big Sisters, you're going to pay. Like you're going to pay one way or the other. Don't kid yourself and think you're not involved. Mm-hmm. We either pay and we go donate our time, our talent, our treasure, and we help these kids that are at risk, like I was, mm-hmm. or they could go down the wrong path, and we end up paying because they're going to end up in a lot of times in prison. Mm-hmm. And you know how much that costs. We could talk about all those statistics. It's terrible. Terrible for society, terrible for them, terrible for us who are paying it.
Right.
Or we can help them and we can break that cycle and we can have them go out and become successful adults, whether they become, you know, rock stars or they're, you know, it doesn't matter if they go in the military, if they get a job, if they're working at Target, or if they go get a college education. We don't care, but they're tax-paying responsible citizens. They're not sleeping on their mom's couch forever.
Correct.
Right? And so I think either way, we've got a responsibility to do something. And to me, the best ROI that there is Big Brothers Big Sisters, one-on-one mentoring.
Amen. Amen. And with that, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Thank you.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavana Robert-Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here with my precious, beloved, and blessed co-host, Shavana Robert-Schreiber. And it's time for fashion.
I mean, your whole aura change when we came to fashion. I said, oh, here we go. You got the voice. I mean, you just drop down into like chic. I love it.
This is really my mothership.
No, as much as your voice changed.
I know. But as much as Coach Nelson inspires me and CJ is
like
my idol.
You refer to yourself in third. You're like a wide receiver.
Well, let's get here. I am like a wide receiver.
You refer to
yourself. Or a wide out, not an up the middle waist of play.
Oh, God.
Guy.
Here we go with the waist of play.
They got some wide out stuff last week. That's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about fashion.
So here's something I've never heard of.
Dinner en blanc?
Yeah, dîner. Le dîner. Le dîner en blanc.
Okay, they just added that part. It used to be just dinner en
dinner,
blanc.
Probably here in Houston it was, but it originated in Paris.
Okay.
So here in French. Anyway, it's this white evening, and it's happening Saturday, October 29th, October 19th, 2024.
I can't believe you've not heard of this.
I've never heard of it. An elegant, secretive gathering where attendees dressed in all white come together for a unique cultural experience involving food, fashion, and community. Originating in Paris in 1988, the event has spread to over 120 cities worldwide, including Houston. The allure is the secrecy and spontaneity.
Allure,
it was that secret.
Well, allure if you're into not being able to plan properly. So I need to know where things are well in advance so I can plan properly. The other thing about this event is you have to carry all your own stuff. So it's like they'll say, like one year was in Discovery Green. It's been in, you know, different park spaces because it's an outdoor deal. And you dress up and you're in all white and you like, you know,
schlep your stuff.
Yeah, like picnic tables.
And October 19th, it could be hot.
Well,
October is our best month of the year weather-wise.
But the point is you carry all your own stuff. And I think now people may pay folks to set up their sort of picnic situation because you eat outdoors. I'm just not doing any of that. And yeah, I'm just not doing that. But it's been going on for a while, and I think people get really into it. And yeah, so it's going to happen on October the 19th. And I think you go register, and then you pay, and then they tell you.
Or maybe you go somewhere, and then they tell you where it is.
No, I think you go online, and somewhere is like online, and then you register, then they release
the day before.
I don't know. Not enough time for me. Moi, since it's
organized by local leaders, Ashley Mitchell and Courtney Wesley.
Okay.
Demonstrating the role of women in driving cultural events.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
engagement.
Great.
Well, women do drive it here.
I just need to know things more in advance, but that's me. But anyway, so one of the things that's also kind of interesting is that this very diverse crowd, and then PEEP comes, and then because it's only in 100 and whatever many cities, some people travel to cities. Like if you're in a city that doesn't have this, then you will come into the closest city and to be able to participate. So it, you know, some tourism, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, that's happening here in just about a month.
I want to talk about the next story.
Go ahead.
LVMH, Louis Vuitton, Moet Hennessy, is close to getting a Formula One sponsorship deal.
That's big.
A range of brands, which, as we know, the LVMH, the mm-hmm. French luxury conglomerate, I mean, would become a major sponsor of Formula One, potentially promoting several of its brands, Tag Heuer, Moët Chandon, possibly its hotel chains on the racetrack. The deal is estimated at $150 million annually and could mark a significant shift in F1 sponsorships, replacing Rolex. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, you know,
this
F1
has been the timekeeping sponsor since 2013. F1, that's all.
Yeah, F1 has really, I would say, over the last probably 10 years, blown up more. I mean, it's always been very popular in other parts of the world, but here more. Like, for example, there's a track in Las Vegas.
Oh, there's a track in Austin.
There's a track
in
Austin. But that is a newer thing, relatively speaking. So I'm not surprised that this sponsorship deal is happening, and I think more will come because they're getting on the map. They're kind of like, you know, soccer obviously is the biggest sport and has always been around, but in the United States, it feels like only the past, I don't know, 5 or 8 years, people have really gotten into it, World mm-hmm. Cup and et cetera. I feel like the same is true for Formula One. So it's going to be very interesting. I feel like your brain is going to.
Well, I'm just kind of thinking about it. And the real potential here.
Which is?
Is luxury brands investing in sports events.
Ah,
which,
say more.
You know, we've kind of seen for years Rolex being the watch on the tennis players or the watch on this guy or all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But if you think about it, beyond Rolex and Nike.
And that's kind of it.
Yeah. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, occasionally
so what,
you
what,
see HEB. You know, I mean, seriously. We're not talking, you're not looking at somebody pushing his Louis Vuitton luggage.
Correct.
You know, you don't see Magic Johnson doing that. He may have it all.
Yeah.
But he, you know, or.
Oh, this is very interesting.
I mean, so, to me, that is the big play here and what to watch for, because it is a giant audience if they start really using and doing and their champagne commercials with your favorite star athletes and yada, yada, yada. That is a real opportunity to blow up the business through marketing and advertising.
Well, but here's the thing. Do you think that they would be willing to pay said athletes? Because I think that's the reason, right? I think a lot of luxury brands have a bit of a, like, you need to pay us to use our stuff
so
sort of attitude.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
One will be willing. And then the rest will, because it will be successful. That is my prediction.
Mm.
And we'll see who the one is.
Any bets? I mean, I know you're not a
betting. I think it's going to be LVMH.
Okay.
You know, I think they're...
Because they have enough brands.
They have enough brands and they're... I wouldn't say they're flexible, but they're smart.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think it'll be them.
Okay. So Lisa's not a betting woman, but if she had to place a bet...
It'd be on LVMH. But leading the all-star sports initiative for luxury brands.
I think that's a great idea. Okay. So, have you ever tried Selena Gomez's Rare Beauty?
I have not, but I know you use it. And you're so beautiful.
Oh, well, you're sweet. Use it, maybe a stretch. I have used it 3 times, the blush.
Oh, okay.
So, I didn't even know. So, let me check this out.
What kind of blush is it? Creamy or powder?
It's powder. I don't know, creamy. Yes. So, check this out. My friend who has... like, you know, it was really great with makeup, lives in Dallas, Miranda. I saw her recently because I was there, and I'm like, this blush is fabulous. And so she sent me a screenshot, like, here at Sephora.
This is what it is.
Yeah, so I go to Sephora, go trooping in there, and I'm like, hi, do you have this? And the person who helped me was lovely. They're like, yep, and there were 2 colors. And they said, no, get this one. I think this will work better with your skin tone. I'm like, okay. And it's great. And so
is that what you have on now?
No. It's not what I have on now. But
why not?
Because it didn't match my outfit and my
makeup
today. Oh,
you change blush colors?
Of course. I have, like, I don't know, 10 blushes. Do you not? Really?
Probably not in 50 years.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, you need
to go. I do not change blush
colors. I'm going to send you a picture of my blush collection.
Okay. You'll be like my mother.
Because it matters with your lipstick and your eyeliner and your, I mean, it all kind of matters. And the colors that you, anyway, the time of year, nevertheless.
I have a look. And the look goes with everything.
Okay.
It's the truth, you know? And I honestly, no, I'm going to go back a few years and just say this.
Okay.
As a younger person, we're not saying how long ago, and a fashion model, I was really well known on the runway scene for being the fastest change in the West. I mean, I was really fast. And part of what was fast was that they could put neutral makeup on me and it would just go, I don't know why. My skin tone or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that's just what I do.
Okay, so we'll do an experiment.
Okay.
We'll probably do this by the fireplace.
Okay.
Because here's the deal.
You're going to do me?
Yeah, because here's the deal. So you can have...
She's doing me.
You know, we work on our audience and we try and we fail every week. Every week. But here's the deal. Like, I can have a neutral that'll go, but when you put on blush that's, you know, seasonal and outfit appropriate, it gives you a different pop. Lipstick, too. I'm telling you, it's a whole thing. Either way, shout out to Miranda for putting me on to Rare Beauty because the blush is great, and it has made Selena Gomez... $1.3 billion.
Yeah, she's a billionaire, which was the point of our story.
Which was the whole point of our story, not me doing Lisa. And with that being said...
We have to close on you doing me.
I kind of feel like, I mean, if we're going to close anywhere, we probably should close there before this gets worse. We're a little bit off the rails, and if we go any longer, I think we'll go all the way off the rails. So,
stay focused.
Stay fit.
And stay fabulous. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Do you love listening to Shavana and me talk about all the things every Sunday here? Do you ever wish you could see what we're laughing about so much? Especially what Magical's laughing about? You're in luck. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and see the fun clips and outtakes from the show, as well as our super special series, Friends by the Fireplace, that we release every Friday. Finding us on YouTube is easy breezy. Type Culture Club HTX and voila, you're in.